Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz.
You liked him before. So he's back with more.
The Drive on KFH.
All right, we introduce Tim Fitzgerald from GoPowerCat.com with his favorite group, Wilson Phillips.
Yeah, just two of the most famous names in music history, Tim, Wilson and Phillips.
Fitz, how are you?
I'm good.
Do you like Wilson Phillips?
Yeah, they had their moments.
They did, didn't they?
I was a huge fan.
Which one was a blonde? Was that a Wilson or a Phillips?
I think that was a Wilson, wasn't it?
There you go. How's it going? Yeah. K-State with a big win. They're first in the Big 12 after a couple of tries against TCU on Sunday. They won the way K-State has to win football games this particular year, kind of grinding it out, right?
And they use special teams. I mean, you look at it. TCU probably won the battle, you know, offensively and defensively, but K-State emphatically won special teams. The block punt that got K-State on the board early and set a, you know, a tone for the game. They got some nice returns, and Devin Ankle that was an amazing punting performance. That shows how valuable a really good punter can be, because he kept flipping the field on TCU, including, you know, really pinning them back there on their last possession.
How about Skylar Thompson and, you know, the matchup with Alex Delton? I'm sure he felt like he wanted to outplay, I guess, his former competitor in a way. So what did you like about his performance? A couple really good runs.
Yeah, I thought Skylar continues to show a little progress in Big 12 play. It's kind of like he had his confidence dinged pretty good against Oklahoma State. Still had some issues there. But, boy, you know, when they really needed him, he was good on that last drive, that run for 61 yards. I mean, when you stop and realize, other than that, they had 32 runs for 33 yards, that kind of changed the context of a lot of things about the game, including the outcome.
Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. He's our guest talking K-State football. They win Saturday 24-17 against TCU. Where is you mentioned special teams, and that's something that K-State goes back for a long time being very good at. Where is the star power on this particular team, in your opinion?
There isn't a ton. I mean, that's a problem. I talked about that on our post-game podcast a little bit. Wyatt Hubert's kind of got to be the guy on the defensive side, and he made a huge play. I would, along with Malik Knowles, are the guys on the offensive side. They have to play well. All those guys have to play well. You know, it doesn't matter if you're playing offense or defense. You got to have someone to lean on. When a play needs to be done, you need someone that can step up and do it. And Skylar did it on Saturday, and so did Wyatt Hubert, and that's how you win a football game.
What signs do you see that K-State is evolving? Probably it's not going to happen this year where they're a prototypical kind of Big 12 offense, but either in recruiting or just – coaching style, do you see that coming, where maybe they play a little bit more spread out and can play like the other teams in the Big 12?
No, I think they're gonna, you know, I think with their big emphasis on recruiting right now is getting better skill guys, but getting offensive linemen who really fit their system. And I think we're kind of finding out that these guys don't exactly fit what they want to do. They got whooped pretty good on Saturday by TCU's front. They've been getting it handed it to them throughout Big 12 play, and that has to change for K-State to find ongoing success. They're going to be a little bit different. They're going to look a little bit, you know, they're really going to want to be run-based. So they got to improve a little bit of everything, except, you know, having Malik Knowles back at receiver makes defenses a little bit more honest, and it has really made things easier on K-State.
Talking with Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. Where they have six games left. They're in pretty good shape with four wins to obviously become bowl eligible. But I don't know that you feel like you take that for granted yet. How do you size up the rest of this schedule? Because the Big 12 looks to me like outside of Oklahoma, you can't really depend on much of anything.
No, it stinks. Doesn't it? It's really not good at all outside of Oklahoma. And but Oklahoma comes in on Saturday. Barring, a totally unexpected outcome, Oklahoma's going to get that win. And, then they'll be 4-3. So they'll be in good position going down their last five games. But that game in Lawrence is just absolutely huge for the first time in a long time. And K-State needs to go in there and take care of business. But certainly I think we can all agree that, KU showed some signs of life in Austin that most of us didn't expect. Even though they lost, I think they carry away a lot of things from there. So that game in Lawrence in a couple of weeks looms awfully large, because if K-State can win that, that gets them to five wins. And that really opens up the opportunities to go get number six when you go to Tech, or you have West Virginia coming in, or even going to Iowa State later in the year if you're, a little bit further down the road in terms of how well you're playing. So that game really is big for K-State in a couple weeks.
Speaking of KU, with Brent Dierman now the offensive coordinator, and they just exploded against Texas the other day, you're right. That takes them to a level that KU's been a little bit schizophrenic all season long. They haven't won a Big 12 game yet, but it's almost like you regard them as a dangerous team in some ways.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do against Tech this week. I was stunned to see Tech open as a favorite in Lawrence. I don't quite understand that, but, that's probably just
habit.
I don't understand it, because you would think people would be betting on KU already, not on Tech. So I don't quite understand the spread, but if they win that game, it'll say an awful lot. This reminds me in some ways of when a team gets a new quarterback and it kind of flips the way they play. I think we saw that with Texas Tech when they added in a little bit more of a run element to their offense when they had to change quarterbacks. And that did change them and made them harder to defend. But then a couple games later, everyone kind of catches up to what they're doing. It might take a little while to catch up with what Dierman's doing with these RPOs, but maybe Tech will zero in on it and take it away. It just really stresses your DNs and safeties, and if you're sound in that area, you should be able to handle this.
So we were briefly debating the college football playoff as it stands right now. You definitely put in Alabama, LSU, and Ohio State. Penn State's there for the fourth, but what if Oklahoma and Clemson are battling for the final spot?
Oh, you're really asking him that question?
Yeah, because there's something to it. Clemson will play and probably beat Wake Forest. Oklahoma has beaten Texas. There aren't many great wins for either team, so what do you use to separate that?
Well, someone needs to lose a game they shouldn't lose. And if that doesn't happen, I win because I get my chaos. Because it's going to be hard to leave out the loser of the Alabama-LSU game if that's the only game they've lost. And yet, if you're looking around the country and you see undefeated SEC, Ohio State in the Big Ten, and Clemson and Oklahoma all with a zero in the loss column, how do you put in a one-loss team?
I hear you.
It's going to be that might get us to eight teams. If the SEC or maybe the Big Ten gets screwed over and doesn't get in a team that probably should be in, it's going to change real quick. This is a great year for college football. I thought Wisconsin was great, but that just shows how tenuous it is. You can be great for every game except one and pay the big price. And Clemson had that against North Carolina. They just escaped with a win.
You can't lose to Illinois, though, for gosh sake.
Made
me mad.
You can't take your eye off the prize at any time. And I don't know if that's what happened with Texas in terms of just accepting a win over KU, but that seems to be a mistake Texas makes all the time in a bunch of different sports. So this is fun. There's some really good college football teams, Oklahoma, and included in that bunch. I think this is one of the better Oklahoma teams in a long time, because not only do they have probably the third Heisman Trophy winner in a row, if he keeps playing well, they also have a defense, and that's the difference.
One more question before we let you go, and let's turn to basketball, because Bruce Weber's having a heck of a recruiting year. Number two in the Big 12, regarded as. What's going on? Obviously the guy can coach a little bit, but this recruiting is maybe a little surprising.
Yeah, you know, this is a really good bunch of players. I mean, they're all top 150 in the nation, around there, depending on the service you use. You know, it's kind of led by Nigel Pack, who's a consensus four-star guy, point guard, scoring point guard, really good player, has superstar written on him. But, you know, they go out and get a small forward, the shooting guard, the center, you know, a seven-footer. They've really strung together something really good for 2020 on the heels of a pretty darn solid 2019 class led by DeJuan Gordon, who will be in the starting lineup for K-State this year. So you're talking about next year having seven guys as freshmen or sophomores on the roster in all likelihood, and they'll be awfully young, but, you know, you start to see momentum. Bruce hasn't really strung together back-to-back classes like he's done now in 19 and 20, if he can keep this group together, which he will. And maybe, you know, it's really going to settle in and not be so reliant, you know, on just one group that carries you for 3 years and then you drop off. These guys, this year's going to be a drop-off. I know a lot of people think it's an NCAA tournament team. They were picked for ninth in the Big 12. I think they're going to really have some struggles, particularly on defense.
Fitz, it's always a pleasure. Go PowerCat.com. Please subscribe. Read the work that Fitz and his crew do. They cover K-State from top to bottom. Thanks very much, Tim.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it very much.
All right, Tim Fitzgerald with us as we talk K-State. We'll come back in a moment for our last full segment of the show. The AP basketball preseason poll is out. We'll talk a little bit about that. And, of course, the World Series starts tomorrow in Houston. Nats and Astros, back in a minute.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.